We are going to go back. We were in Matthew chapter 14 on Sunday morning. Amen. And we are going to go back, amen, into chapter 14 tonight. We ended at verse 18. Amen. We're going to start tonight at verse 22. So Matthew chapter 14. Amen. Verse 22. Praise God. Amen. We preach, amen, on Sunday morning. Amen. Out of, again, verses 13 through 18 about the Jesus and the miracle of the feeding the 5,000. Amen. And about giving our all to him. Amen. And he just prompted in my spirit to stay in this chapter. Amen. But we're going to go and go along with what came up next. Amen. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, go with us there. Amen. Stand for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. We're going to read about 11 or 12 verses there tonight. Amen. Praise God. Again, it's good to have everybody. Amen. If you're there, Matthew 14, 22. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands. Amen. And give the Lord praise as they blow the shofar. Amen. In honor of his word tonight. Come on, let's bless him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is good. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated if the Lord would allow me tonight. I want to minister on this thought. Don't go back. Amen. Don't go back. Look at a neighbor if you've got one there and say, "Don't go back." Amen. Don't go back. Again, we were in Matthew 14 on Sunday morning. If you weren't here, you didn't get to hear the message. Amen. I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel. Amen. And watch that. Amen. It's entitled "Bring Them to Me." Amen. But I want to go, amen, tonight where continue as the story. Amen. And the things unfold in chapter 14. Amen. Have you ever stepped out in faith and thought when you stepped out it was going to be a foundation, but it ended up feeling like a pool of water? Amen. You stepped out in faith believing and thought that what you were stepping on was going to be something that you were going to build on. Amen. But instead it felt like a pool of water. Amen. Sometimes you even feel like that it's over your head. Amen. Ever felt like that it was all just overwhelming? Amen. I'm talking about our pursuit of our relationship with God, our pursuit in seeking the will of the Lord, our pursuit in wanting to grow closer to him and wanting to deepen our relationship with him. And as the disciples, wanting to follow Jesus, amen, and wanting to be obedient to what he said, amen, and
It's interesting. We hear a lot about the story of Peter walking on the water. John and Mark tell us of this story as well. Amen. The same story in their gospel. Praise God. And we talk about that. Amen. That story quite a bit. But I want you to notice that the word said that Peter was beginning to sink. Amen. He had just began to sink. And I want us to think tonight about that for just a minute. He was just beginning to sink. That means that, amen, for you, when you step out on faith, amen, and you think that it's going to be a foundation, you think it's going to be something that's going to move you into the next step, but again, it feels like a pool of water, and maybe you begin to sink. But I want us to look at by faith tonight and look at it positively that Peter began to sink. So that means that if you're in that place tonight, that you haven't quit yet, you haven't divorced yet, you haven't walked away yet, you haven't left yet, you haven't stopped, amen, praise God, just beginning to sink, amen. And I want you to think about that tonight. You know, when we look at Jesus walking on the water, and then we see Peter, amen, walking on the water with him. Magicians, I was thinking today, magicians have imitated walking on water. We know that they can't, but they have made that illusion that they were walking on waters. There are gurus and other religions who have faith raising the dead, amen. And unfortunately, there are preachers and teachers in the church, amen, that have, amen, faith healings, amen. They have faith people getting up out of wheelchairs and people, amen, who have received their sight. Unfortunately, it's been faith, but as we preached on Sunday morning about the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus women and children. There were 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Amen. When we preached about that, and when you look at that miracle that took place just before this event with Peter walking on the water, this was literally the greatest miracle that Jesus performed. And you say, why? You say that because no one could imitate that miracle. Nobody could take five loaves of bread, or amen, three loaves of bread and five loaves and two fish, amen. Nobody could take that and break it, amen, and fake it multiplying. They couldn't make it feed more than what it was able to. So this was the greatest miracle that Jesus did because nobody could imitate it. Amen. So as we said on Sunday morning, remember when this was happening in this time when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. Remember that evening was coming when Jesus fed the multitude. Remember the disciples said, it's getting late. We've been here all day and these people are hungry. Send them away so that they can go into the villages and get food. Amen. So it was evening. Evening was coming upon them when Jesus performed this miracle. But I want you to look, amen, at verse 22. Amen. It says, and straightway, that word straightway, amen, is translated immediately. So immediately after they fed the 5,000, the Bible says immediately Jesus told them to get in the boat. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the one that dispersed the crowd. Jesus is the one, amen, that told the crowd, okay, now it's time to go back to your homes. It's time to go back to your village. And I'm making a point tonight because immediately, remember, it was coming up on evening when they were feeding the 5,000. And immediately when they were done, Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. I got to thinking about something today. As many times I've got a lot of notes in Matthew 14, especially here with this story of Jesus walking on the water. But I begin to think today, amen, about the timing that was there, and that it was evening when Jesus was, when they fed the 5,000, and if it was evening and Jesus told them immediately to get on the boat, the sun probably hadn't quite yet went down, but it was getting, amen, nearing sundown. Hallelujah. And I got to thinking, amen, did they obey him immediately? Did they get on the boat right away? Or did something distract them? Hey, was there something that distracted them? Did they stand around? Maybe they got on the boat, but they stood and watched to make sure Jesus was going to be able to disperse the crowd. You say, why do you say that? Amen. Because at 4 a.m. in the morning, they were only in the middle of the lake. Remember I told you, amen, that this was not a sea or an ocean like we imagine. But when you study the geography and the history, you can look, amen, that this was really a lake. So this wasn't like they had to cross the sea. It was like just going across a lake. I can't remember how wide it was, but if they had got in their boat and they had began before sundown to go over to the other side, I'm kind of believing and thinking that they probably would have been farther. Amen. After what? That's about 9-10 hours. Amen. They were out there. Amen. So I had to wonder, did they delay, or what was it? Did they hesitate? Were they distracted by something? Amen. Because I got to thinking that by 4 o'clock in the morning, they should have been farther along. I would think that they would have been farther along because all of them were rowing this boat. Amen. This wasn't a ship, as I know the King James says ship, but it's translated a boat. It really wasn't a big ship like we imagine it to be. Amen. And I got to thinking, if they had delayed, if there was a delay, if they were distracted, could they have possibly missed some of that storm? Are you with me? Amen. Would that storm have been more behind them than it would have been ahead of them? And so the Bible tells us that now they are in the middle of the lake. They're in the middle of this body of water. Amen, Brother Matt. And the Bible says that they were struggling in rowing to get, amen, to where they were going because the wind had become boisterous. The wind had begun to pick up. Amen. It was a storm. A windstorm had begun to blow on the water. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus saw them struggling in their rowing. I need you to be reminded tonight, amen, in your pursuit of getting to where you know you need to be. Amen. God sees the struggle tonight. Amen. Please know that God is not overlooking the struggle that it's taking, amen, just to try to get to where you feel like he needs you to be. And so we know that when Jesus saw them struggling in rowing the boat, that he went walking on the water toward them. And the Bible says that they were terrified, so much so that they began to scream in fear. They said, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. Look, it's a ghost coming across the water. And they began to scream with fear. So imagine these 12 grown men, amen, that had just been with Jesus just several hours before. Amen, they were screaming with fear because they thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them and he said, stop being afraid. He said, stop with your fear. Stop being afraid, for it is I. Amen. And we know that Peter said, Jesus, if it's really you, why don't you tell me to come to you on the water? And we know that Peter stepped out of the boat. We know Jesus said, come. Just one word, he said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat, and he began to walk on water. And I need you to understand something. Amen. We focus sometimes on the wrong thing. Sometimes we can get fixated, amen, on what is wrong. We can get fixated on what we haven't done. We can get fixated on how we have messed up. But I want to encourage you in this season, amen, because nowhere else in the Word was there any other human recorded of walking water besides Peter. No other person, amen, is recorded in the Bible of walking on water. So much, many times the messages that we preach on this story is focusing on the fact that Peter started sinking. But I want us to flip it tonight and celebrate the small things, that he was at least walking on the water. He at least stepped out in faith. We focus so much on how much we mess up or how much we don't accomplish, when God wants us to realize, hallelujah, where we are. Amen. We at least, he at least stepped out of the boat. Hallelujah. Amen. There wasn't none of the other ones. Amen. Unlike the other 11, at least Peter, amen, was willing to get out of the boat. Amen. When he saw Jesus. So I want to encourage you tonight to celebrate the little things. Celebrate and rejoice in your walk with God for the times that you stepped out on the boat. Quit focusing on how many times you sank. Amen. But focus on, hallelujah, that if you walked on the water. Amen. There was nobody else but Peter that ever done that. And we criticize him for sinking. But I want to give God praise tonight for somebody that had faith to step out of the boat, walk on the water, and leave an example for you and I. Hallelujah, that even though we may mess it up, if we take a step in faith, hallelujah, and do what he says for us to do, he will meet us right where we are.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So the wind, listen, the wind was already strong when Peter stepped out of the boat. Right? It's the whole reason why they were struggling and rowing. The storm had already came up upon the waters, and the wind was already blowing. And that's why they were struggling, amen, to row the boat. Hallelujah. So the wind was strong before Peter stepped out of the boat. But what's the Bible say? That when he saw the wind was strong, he began to sink. The wind didn't change. The wind never changed from the time that Peter, amen, was in the boat until the time that he stepped out of the boat. Hallelujah. See, we can't blame the storm. We can't blame the wind. Are you with me? We can't justify, hallelujah, not making it because of the circumstances. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I think of today, did he expect the wind to cease when he stepped out? I don't know. Sometimes we think the storm should be over. Amen. And it's not over. Amen. And we are afraid to move and to move forward in our relationship with God and in our faith and in our strength, because we just feel like, amen, that we don't have the strength or the courage to do it. Hallelujah. But listen, amen, the wind didn't change. Something else did.
Right.
Stay with me tonight. Mm-hmm. Now remember, we talked about this Sunday morning. The whole reason that Jesus was in the wilderness was that he had just heard the news of John the Baptist's death. John the Baptist was his cousin. I read somewhere today for the first time that history says that Jesus and John the Baptist looked very similar. They were cousins. They were, amen, 6 months apart. Amen. And praise God that they looked very similar. So, you know, Jesus and John the Baptist were very close. And so remember, amen, that Jesus was trying to be alone in the wilderness. Amen. He was trying to go and be alone in the wilderness, but the multitude followed him, right? And the multitude heard, amen, and they followed him. Praise God. And so we know that he was moved with compassion, and he healed all that were sick. And then he, amen, took the time to not send them away, but to feed them. Amen. And to make sure that they didn't go away hungry. Now, amen, after that was done, He sent the disciples, amen, away so he could go up to the mountain, be by himself and pray. Amen. So imagine, we talked about, amen, possibly Jesus' emotional state, amen, knowing that all of this had to happen, amen, but it still didn't make it feel any better to know that John the Baptist had to be beheaded, the man, the cousin that he loved. Amen. Sometimes we know that things must happen, and it's the will of God, and people hurt, and people, amen, suffer as a result of that, and we don't always like it, right? It doesn't mean that it always feels good. Amen. So Jesus now, hallelujah, after spending all day, he was already, amen, emotionally in a place, and he wanted to be by himself, amen, and now he spent the whole day teaching and healing and feeding them. Now he needed to go somewhere and pray, so he sent the disciples, amen, away, amen, because he was just overwhelmed. I believe that, amen, that he had just became overwhelmed with everything. So he said immediately when it was done, he wasn't going to give them any more chance. He wasn't going to give a chance for the people to sit in fellowship and to talk, and the disciples to hang around and talk about what had just happened, amen. He immediately said, get in the ship, get on the other side, I'll meet you over there later. And he told the people, the crowd, he moved them and sent them home. Hallelujah. But he sent the disciples, we know, with 12 baskets, amen, left of pieces of fish and pieces of bread. Hallelujah. I thought about today, amen, all the little pieces of fish, amen, and all the little pieces of bread. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Hallelujah. Now, after Jesus's one of his greatest heartaches, came one of his greatest miracles. Can I tell you that out of your deepest despair, if you will remain faithful to the word of God, he will make something beautiful. Out of the greatest despair and sorrow that you go through, one of Jesus' greatest heartaches became, amen, one of his greatest miracles. See, life operates in the ebb and flow. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're exempt from life. Just this week, just since the first of the year, as of this week, just since the first of the year, there's been 7 people that we have known and been acquainted with that have passed away. That's a lot in less than 2 months. And there's life is like the ebb and flow. There's ups, there's downs. We're in, we're out. Amen. And we have to go with it. Amen. And we can get discouraged when we aren't in a high season. Right? When you hang around death and hospitals and funeral homes and nursing homes and despair, amen. I remember the year, amen, there was 21, amen. One year we had 21 deaths, amen. And many of those, we did those funerals, amen. And when you hang around, amen, death and grief and sorrow, and especially if people don't know Jesus, it can take a toll on you. It can begin to take a toll in your mind when you watch somebody you love, amen, pass away, amen. Even if they're saved, it can begin to take a toll on you when you watch people who watch their loved ones, amen, and you know that pain and that grief, it can just take a toll, amen. And so we can get discouraged because we aren't in a high season. I was thinking today about those baskets of leftovers. Fish sinks. Who knows how old those fish were that the little boy brought from his lunch. Now imagine 12 baskets full of sardines. Little fish, right? Nasty. They naturally sink. But imagine, amen, I don't know how big the baskets were, but they were big enough to talk about. They were big enough to mention, amen, but they took, the leftovers. So their baskets of leftovers were pieces of fish and bread. So I thought today, man, that probably started to stink. That probably started to smell even after a few hours, amen. That started to smell, amen. And so the smell of the leftovers probably wasn't pleasant, amen. Can I tell you that sometimes after our greatest victory, we don't like the smell of the leftovers. We're not always reminded, amen, because there's another storm oftentimes that comes right away. And so I was thinking today, amen, the smell of that fish was probably preparing them for the storm that was about to show up, amen. Hallelujah. So we don't always like, amen, how we do it, but Jesus told them, amen, he said, you go and I'll be there later. I'll meet you back on the other side. And I got to thinking today, I've never thought about this before either, but it was 4 a.m. According to, amen, the scripture, the translation, it was 4 o'clock in the morning when Jesus saw them struggling to row on the boat. Amen, it was 4 o'clock, amen, 4 a.m. when Jesus came to them. Now, we can call 4 a.m. late at night, or we can call it early in the morning. Amen. One of those denotes that night has no end in sight. The other one denotes that night is almost over and morning has already began. So it just matters at how you look at it. You can either look at the timing, amen, as there's still night, as it's in the middle of the night, and so night is not over, and you're not sure when morning's going to come, or you can say it's 4 a.m. early in the morning and declare that night is not going to last, because weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. See, it's all in how that we look at it. It's how we focus on it. Amen. We can either say, you know what, this is never going to be over, or we can look at it, praise God, even though we're in the middle, amen, of the water, we can say, you know what, it's 4 in the morning. Hallelujah. And they were right there in the middle of the sea, or the water, the lake, however you want to say, whatever makes you see it. So if they were in the middle of the lake, then it was the same distance to where they just came from, mm-hmm. to where they were going. It was the same distance. If they were right in the middle, it would have been the same distance. So it would have taken the same distance to get to the other side as it would to go back. So if it's the same distance, then it would have took, the wind was there, the storm was there upon the water, it would have took the same effort, amen, to go back to where they came from as it would to keep going and going to where they were headed, going to where Jesus said. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today, amen, don't even think about going back, because the enemy will say, you know what, you just need to go back. You just need to quit trying. You just need to stop. Amen. You're right here in the middle of this mess. Amen. But when God's got you right in the middle, hallelujah, it takes us the same effort to go back as it does to keep going. And if you go back, you're going to have to start all over again. But if you keep going, hallelujah, Jesus is going to meet you. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? So the struggling in the middle to get to where you need to go, to follow and be obedient to the Lord, amen, it takes the same effort. So it's going to hurt and it's going to take a lot of strength either way. So I'll choose to keep going, amen, and not go back. Hallelujah. The enemy would want you to backtrack. He would want you to say, you know what? It's not worth it. You're never going to make it. Because they thought they were going to sink right there in the middle of the water.
they thought they were going to sink. But can I tell you that they were in the will of God? They were right there in the middle of the water. And the storm, the wind was boisterous and blowing violently. But they were right there in the will of God. You say, how can you say that being stuck in the middle of the water, in the middle of the night, with a storm violently blowing upon the water, be the will of God? Because Jesus told them to get in the boat. He told them where to go. And he told them, amen, the time to do it. He said, immediately go now. Get in the boat. Go across that body of water. And I'll meet you on the other side. So they were obeying what Jesus said. So being there in the middle of that water, in the middle, amen, if I can say in the middle of the night, or amen, in the early morning hours, amen, on that body of water, in that storm, they were in the will of God because Jesus told them to do it. Jesus told them to do that. But the storm still came. Even though Jesus told them to get in the boat, told them what water, amen, to sail on, and told them when to do it, but the storm still came. The wind still blew fiercely. They were in the will of God. I want to say to you that are here tonight, to you that will listen to this later, that where you are in the middle of the storm, where you are, when it's happening, what's happening, is the will of God. This wasn't some random thing they decided to do. No doubt they would have preferred staying and lingering, but it's the will of God. It's hard for us to imagine God putting us in a place like that, and that being his will. But here is the test. The test is to see if you'll go back or if you'll keep rowing to get to the other side. That's what Jesus said. He would meet you, was on the other side. So the test is to see if you'll stop rowing and try to get back to where you thought Jesus was. They knew Jesus was still over there in the desert where they left him. So I can imagine all the smelly fish and the storm and the wind. And one of them saying, let's just go back. Let's just go back. Because they were rolling against the wind. That's not a fun feeling. That's not a pleasant thing. That the will of God is taking you to right in the middle. See, and now, here's Peter. And see, here's what you got to understand. The enemy, the first thing the enemy will tell us when we're in the middle, rowing with all that we have, trying to obey God, trying to fulfill the will of God in our lives, trying to be in the place that God wants us. This is, and things are moving. This is, and the storm, and we're right there in the middle. Amen. It's still dark. The enemy wants to convince us we've done something wrong.
That's true.
Or probably something that holds as much weight, or something that he uses a lot as well against people at times like that, is that you haven't done enough. Mm-hmm. Well, if you would have just
done this, if you would have just done that, if you would have just prayed longer, if you would have just fasted longer, if you would have just did this, if you would have just done that, then you wouldn't be here. Now, granted, disobedience gets us.
Right.
Okay, don't take me wrong. We're talking tonight about being in the will of God, the will of God taking us to that time of test. And the enemy will tell us that we've messed up. But remember, Peter was just beginning to sink. So I want you to understand that in this place, and I believe there's at least one who can relate to what I'm saying tonight, of Peter stepping out of the boat, of being in the middle of the water, and the storm, and the wind, and the timing, and just doing what you believe God would have you to do, just trying to pursue a right relationship with the Lord, trying to grow stronger, trying to be a better example for your family, trying to believe, amen, as you pray, and trying to trust that God's going to save your family, that God's going to fulfill, that God's going to do, and everything going around. Listen, there don't even have to be a spiritual storm in these times we're living. There's a storm that ensues right in the atmosphere, in the world. So just that alone, but when you're pressing against that, and then a storm that God, amen, is allowing to come up and testing to see, I want you to understand that just because you're beginning to sink doesn't mean that you have quit. Doesn't mean that, amen, you are giving up. Doesn't mean that you've said, you know what, I don't have enough faith. I must not be doing something right. It doesn't even mean you're sinning. It doesn't mean that you haven't done enough. Hallelujah. Praise God, because Jesus told Peter to come. Amen. So why do we feel guilty, amen, when we lose our footing in certain seasons? Because we all do it,
yes.
Right? Amen. When we're in those certain seasons and we take that step of faith, as we said, amen, and we walk on water for just a couple of minutes, but then we begin to sink. Why do we feel so guilty, amen, when we lose our footing in certain seasons, when Jesus is the one that told you to come? Jesus is the one that told you to step out of the boat. Amen. So why do we allow the enemy to make us feel so guilty? Amen. We tend to question whether or not we're in the will of God when we're in those seasons where we lose our footing.
That's good.
I've been there. Mm-hmm. Been there recently. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord. That's a big misconception. That's been a wrong perception, amen, that I've been put, amen, in the spirit of religion, is that, you know, we should never sink that again, because we're taught to focus on the fact that Peter was sinking instead of the fact that Peter walked on water.
Yes, that's good.
And so then we focus on all the sinking. I can't believe that. I can't believe that I didn't take another step on water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, Peter's got the key. Amen. If you just keep reading the story, Peter's got the key. Amen. Just because we're sinking doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. Doesn't mean that we've messed up. Doesn't mean that, amen, we're quitting. Doesn't mean that we're weak. Doesn't mean that we haven't done enough. Who am I talking to tonight? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just the fact that you had enough faith to step out of the boat, amen, and walk on water. I don't know how many steps Peter took before he started sinking, but one step is
right.
More than the other 11
right,
took.
Right.
Peter didn't miss the will of God because he was sinking or because of stepping out of the boat. He missed it because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Right? He missed it because he took his eyes off of Jesus. See, the key is when we start losing our footing, when we start feeling ourselves sinking, amen, is to realign our priorities. Because when we lose our footing, then we've taken our eyes off of the source. And we all do it. We all do it. But it doesn't mean we're not in the will of God.
Right.
It doesn't mean that God is punishing us. Doesn't mean that we have messed up. Doesn't mean that we should have, would have, could have. Doesn't mean that. Because Jesus is the one that told him to get in the boat, when to go, where to go. Amen? And so they were in the middle of the storm because the will of God took them there. We got to get our focus back on God. And you will find that any time you begin to lose your footing somewhere, whether it be little, just a small amount, you've gotten your focus off of God.
That's good.
Because the wind didn't change from the time he was in the boat till the time that he stepped out on the water. But when he realized that he was walking on the water in the middle of a windstorm, he's like, what in the world am I doing? Who? And the enemy's like, well, who do you think you are?
Come on.
Who do you think you are, Peter? You think you're somebody special? You think, right?
Right.
Come on. What do you mean that you're, what have you done? Look at this, Peter. Well, if you said this and you said that, or you done this, you done that, or you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Come on, are you with me? Peter was doing what no one else had ever done. I want you to keep that in your mind if you don't get anything else. Peter was doing something that no one else had ever done. But here's the thing. He may have began to sink, but he didn't. See, that's the key. It's not that you are beginning to sink. That's not a problem. It is, but it ain't. If you understand what I'm saying, that's not the issue. The issue is that Peter never sank. Why? Because he cried out,
right,
Lord, save me.
Right.
Hear me? He realized that he needed Jesus to come right then.
Yes.
Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. So he got his focus back. Hallelujah. Just for a minute, he got realized. Amen. He was made aware of what was going on, and there was no way that he should have been able to walk on water. Amen. Just like no one else ever took 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amen. And broke it and fed over 5,000 people and had 12 baskets of leftovers, 12 baskets of fragments left. Nobody had ever done that before. Amen. And nobody ever did it again. And it couldn't be imitated. And there's no way that you can fake walking on water. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? So listen, I don't care if you got 1 day sober and clean or if you got 30 days sober and clean. You rejoice at that 1 day because at least you walked on the water. You might start sinking for a minute. Hallelujah. But the key is to cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you hear me? You might be, amen, only a few days out of your struggle, and then you get there and you start sinking. But don't focus, amen, on the fact that you're sinking. But remember, you got out of the boat. You didn't stay. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. And the key is don't go back. Don't go back. Amen. Call out on the Lord. Man, so many people mess up and they stay messed up. But the key is getting up. I know that it's hard because we come from a culture, from generations that teach us you should never fall. I told you that before. That was my mentality growing up.
Right.
That's why I felt like I could not confess my struggle. Because if I did, I would be accountable to them. And I knew after years of struggle that I couldn't do it. And as dumb as it sounds, as long as I didn't confess it to God,
it didn't exist.
That it was okay.
Yes.
as messed up and warped as that sounds, that's what a religious spirit can do. I just felt like, you know, if I didn't confess it to God, then I didn't have to deal with it. And if I didn't deal with it, then he wasn't going to punish me for it.
So good.
Because if I confessed it, then I deserved to be punished. And then if I was punished, then everybody else around me who I thought was perfect.
Come on.
And expected me to be perfect. So I was walking through, amen, things and going through motions to strive for spiritual perfection. And everybody had this purpose, this vision of who I was.
Right.
But as long as I didn't say anything about it. But see, when light worked through, and I got to the point to where I didn't care. That my struggle wasn't going anywhere. But if that's what it took, and when I confessed it, when I sat down, you know, I would say, God, help me. Or God, please change me. God, please don't let it be like this, but I never give it to him. I just expected him to take it from me without yielding. Are you with me? A lot of folks sitting like that. And when the first person that I told that it come out of my mouth that I loved the most, that was closest to me, my best friend, when I sat down and told Luann, that's when I knew I was now accountable. And I was ready to face whatever consequences. Right then, I began to sink. Because I stepped out of the boat and I walked on water. For just a minute. And then I began to sink. But the key was, is then I said, cry out, Lord.
Yes.
Now I need you to save me. I need you to save me from this, God. And it was a long process. A lot of mercy, a lot of grace. Thank God for the love of my wife.
Yes.
And the grace and the mercy. Because she'd have a right to say, see ya. Ain't got time for all that. I didn't sign up for that.
Right.
A lot of counseling. Had to travel a long way to find the counseling. But when you make up your mind.
Yes.
And you say, Lord, save me. You don't have to seek.
Right.
And I've lost my footing plenty of times since then. That's half my life now. I was 30 years old. I just turned 60. So half my life. So I lived half my life a mess. Deceived. But the last half, you live free. But I've lost my footing. And I've felt myself many times beginning to sink. And oh, how many times the enemy's come and said, watch this, watch now. But the key is he cried out to Jesus.
Yeah.
He was just beginning to sink. Had he not put his focus back on Jesus, he may have went down. The wind and the wave may have took him under. Now, I'm convinced Jesus would have saved him anyhow, but he didn't have to go under. Sometimes we experience near drowning, but we don't have to.
Come on.
Sometimes we experience going under. Water and fire, in my mind, are two of the worst ways to leave this world. I don't swim Well, I can swim underwater, but I ain't getting in it real deep and attempting it. Because you got to come up. And if you can't stay on top of the water, you're going back down. I don't.
Yep, that's exactly what you do.
Try to well on top of water. I think about how many times I went under the wave. Anybody ever went under the water and you've lost your breath and you feel like that you're drowning? In your mind, you're going, you're drowning people. People kill me. Well, let's just say kill me. That's terrible. But it baffles me. It baffles me. People say, now, if you get in that situation and you're drowning, just remember, hold your hand up. Get out of here.
You don't work.
I'm going to try it on the door. I'm going to be thinking, okay, Jeff, breathe. Right, right? You're not going to do that. At least I'm not. Unless you do it all the time. Like, my thinking is, you know that's not going to happen. So you should tell me that. But how many times have I felt like I was near drowning simply because I didn't cry out to the Lord soon enough? Uh-huh. And the enemy convinced me that because I was beginning to sink that I had to go under. Sometimes we feel like we deserve to go under the waves and we deserve to experience the near drowning. Mm-hmm. Amen. When the enemy convinces us
so true.
Of that, we don't have to. When we tend to have that mentality, and when we tend to begin to sink, we get the thing, because Jesus said to Peter, right? He said, "Oh, you of little faith, where did you doubt? At what point, Peter, did you doubt that you were not going to be able to keep walking on the water, or that I was not going to let you drown?"
Right.
It wasn't so much that he doubted he could walk on water as that he thought he was going under.
Right.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "At what point did you doubt?" And help me. Because of religious mindset and religious thinking and that religion attitude, we get the mindset that when we begin to sink, amen, Jesus going, why didn't you doubt? Why did you doubt?
100%.
You should have just listened.
Uh-huh.
Where's your faith?
Uh-huh.
Right? I heard somebody sharing a testimony, and it turned on a switch in me in that mindset, because that's what the enemy will do. And sadly, we've had a lot of preaching in generations past with that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we never. That's why when we begin to sink, we think, "Oh, here we go again. I've messed up again.
Right.
I'm never going to rise
yep.
to that pinnacle." Right? We think we got to achieve that. When God's done, "I got you. I'm taking you where you're going." But there was an area in their life, and they didn't even share what that was. But God asked them, said, "Can you just trust me with this?" And they said, "I was just honest and said, no, God, I can't." Because she had tried. It was an area in her life, something that she struggled with. And God said, "Will you just trust me? Can you trust me in this?" And she said, "I just said, no, God, I can't." And she said, God spoke back to her and said, "Will you try?" And she said, it flipped her perception. Instead of him saying, "Well, why not? I give you everything you need to trust me," she said, God said, "Will you at least try?" That changes the whole perception of the love of God and who he is. He's not standing there ready to chastise you every time you begin to sink and you don't fast enough, you don't pray enough, you don't do enough. Am I doing enough? Am I not done this? Am I done that? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have went there. And right? Maybe I'm the only one that's been there. But he could have said to her, "Why not? Haven't I shown you time and time again? Sometimes I'm not saying it." But when he said to her, "Can you try?"
And she was able to begin to learn to trust him in that area. Because she didn't see God as, well, if you don't, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to, that's why we can't go back. Don't go back, but keep rowing, keep pushing, keep pressing. Because had he not put his focus back on Jesus, he surely would have went down.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a couple things I want us to look at, and then I'm going to close. Number one, what happened when Peter cried, "Lord, save me"? Jesus reached out. That's powerful. That's powerful. And see, here's the thing. When we focus on the fact that Peter was sinking instead of the fact that he was walking on water, we miss the love and the grace and the mercy in the fact that Jesus reached out. So it wasn't that, oh, come on, Peter.
Come on.
It was, come on, Peter.
Yeah.
I got you. He reached out. He'll do it every time.
Yes.
That's powerful. When we don't focus on the fact that he's sinking, but on the fact that he at least got out there and walked on the water.
Yes.
Jesus reached out. That's powerful. Yes. And said, Peter, it's not over.
Amen.
It's not what you see. It's not what you think. It's not over. And then, the second thing, he reached out. The second thing he did was he caught him. He didn't even let him go down. At all. So he could have reached out his hand and said, all right, keep walking. Right? That's what we think.
Yeah.
That when we look at the fact that Peter was sinking and we focus on what we're doing wrong, then we think, okay, he reached out his hand and said, come on, you know, like we do with little kids, we're trying to teach them walk, like, come on. We see it as like he's like, come on. Come on, I'm right here. Keep walking. You can walk on that water. Jesus is not impressed with us walking on water.
Come on.
What he wants is our faith
to
get out of the boat. It's not how long you walk on the water. Amen. You might begin to sink, but it's the faith to at least get out of the boat.
Yes.
Be willing. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping this is helping tonight.
So good.
And then he called. And they got back in the boat together. Think on that. He could have said, all right, Peter, go on, turn around, get back. Yeah, I'm not going to let you go. Right? That's how we see
100%.
It. When we have that mindset, am I telling the truth?
Yes,
you are.
How many times have we missed blessings, covenant blessings, because of that wrong thinking?
100%.
But he not only reached out his hand, but he called him, and they went in the boat together. He will never leave you or forsake you. Never. They got back in the boat together. And what happened when they got in the boat? The wind ceased. It stopped. And that peace came. The calm came. Can I tell you, hallelujah, that he will bring a calm to the storm. When his will puts you right out in the middle of where it's at, he will bring a calm to your storm. I'm trying to help you tonight.
So
trying to teach us
good.
To grow and walk in faith. And to be able to realize, amen, that it's not a shame to say, I'm beginning to sink. It's not a shame to begin to sink. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in losing your footing.
Mm-hmm.
He don't expect you to walk on the water flawlessly. If you could, you'd be Jesus. But thank God that he allowed us to see this in Peter.
And then what did Peter end up becoming, right? Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was. And he said, upon that revelation, Peter, I'm building my church. That's what I'm building my church on that revelation that I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. So Peter ended up going to become. So I want to encourage somebody tonight. Don't go back just because you're beginning to sink. There's no shame in beginning to sink. Decide to not go back and put all of your effort and all of your faith and all of your strength focused back on Jesus and keep going. Because as you're beginning to sink, just because you're sinking doesn't mean you have to drown. Doesn't mean you have to go under. Amen? Doesn't mean the water has to overtake you just because you're sinking. Mm-hmm. Sinking today. How many times in my walk that I began to sink and I went under and I experienced fear and torment and doubt and struggling on whether to go back to where I started from because I felt guilty for sinking.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of rejoicing that I stepped out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that. I'm not saying that in a boastful way. But to understand, amen, that God would rather you begin to sink and lose your footing and show up anyhow than he would for you to lose your footing and then just don't show up and go back. So I want to encourage somebody as they come to the music tonight. Don't go back. Don't go back. You're only beginning to sink. But that doesn't mean you're going under. That doesn't mean that you messed up. God's will has taken you to the middle of the lake. God's will has allowed you to experience the wind and the storm. And he'll come to you. Jesus will always show up. Always. David said, even if I make my bed in hell, you'll be there. So as you stand with me tonight, I can look across here at those that are here and say that I believe. That you're here tonight because the Lord wanted you to hear this word tonight. You might be experiencing the resistance, the wind. Just because you've lost your footing doesn't mean that you've sinned, doesn't mean that you've quit, doesn't mean that you've let down or that you're let down on God. It just means that you got to realign your focus, realign your priorities. As we preached on Sunday morning, give God your all. Give him everything. Surrender. If you happen to be here tonight and maybe somebody here doesn't know the Lord. See, a lot of people know him as Savior, but they don't have not experienced him as the Lord of their life. So tonight, if you're here and you don't, he's not your Savior. I want to encourage you to come and make that decision tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. You want us to pray with you because you're like, that's me. I've lost my footing. I feel myself beginning to sink and I've been struggling. See, it's easy when you begin to sink to just quit praying, quit reading, quit being persistent,
in your pursuit of the will of God? Because again, that mindset, the enemy, well, what have you done? You haven't done enough. Well, if the praying and reading you've done is not enough, then what's the use to do anymore? And you want us to pray with you tonight for whatever reason. As they begin to worship. And as you begin to worship with them, I want you to come if you want us to pray with you tonight.